Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. You know that performance counts, so put your pension in the hands of our experts. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
The European Commission looks like throwing a lifeline to Irish farming by recommending an extension of the controversial nitrates derogation. The proposal, which will have conditions attached, will be voted on by Member States next month. But critics say it won't halt the decline in Ireland's water quality and leaves farmers without a sustainable plan B. I'm joined now by Jennifer Whitmore, Social Democrat spokesperson for Climate, Environment and Agriculture, and by Billy Kelleher, Fianna Fáil MEP for Ireland South. First of all, let's just hear what EU Commissioner Michael McGrath said. He's breaking the news about this morning on Morning Ireland.
The Commission has recommended an extension of the nitrates derogation for
Ireland.
Will
there be conditions?
The detail of the proposal will be published once it is formally adopted. So it is now with the Nitrates Committee. They will consider the matter, and then it will go to the Commission to formally adopt the decision. And the detail of that will be set out within the decision that hopefully will be formally adopted before Christmas, to give certainty to farmers, to give certainty to agri-producers in Ireland.
Billy Kelleher, what's the word on this in Brussels? Michael McGrath, Commissioner McGrath there talking about certainty, hopefully by Christmas. Is it in the bag?
Well, I think the extension obviously is decided by the Commission. What we need to see now is the conditionality around that and the obligation that will be placed on the Irish state, the government, farmers, the dairy industry in general, to comply with the new conditionality that will be clearly evident. The question is how onerous it will be, what you know, it will involve and what will entail and how long the overall extension will be. But we need a minimum of 3 years to ensure that there's an element of certainty and confidence that farmers, the industry and government can put in place additional policies, further mitigating measures to ensure that, you know, water quality continues to improve as it is at the moment.
I see Minister Martin Hayden today saying that what the conditionality could be environmental assessments at catchment level to show compliance with the Habitats Directive. That could be very onerous on individual farmers, couldn't it?
It could be, and that is a concern. But I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we were pushing for an extension. The Habitats Directive issue has been mentioned for some time. So clearly there's going to be an obligation there. The question is, how much must we comply with in terms of the Habitats Directive? Because the Habitats Directive, as it is quite a restrictive element of legislation, not only in the context of farming, but in general around the issue of planning, development, road building, right across the entirety. So, you know, this could have broader implications than just farming if we're not careful in terms of the conditionality. So we need to see the detail, but the first thing we need is certainty around the next a number of years, and then conditionality that is not so onerous and cumbersome and expensive that it really undermines the financial viability of dairy farms to continue to farm and the broader agri-food sector.
Okay, Jennifer Whitmore, can I bring you in here? Because you've called the government's pursuit of this extension, which is a big political pursuit by this government and indeed the last government, you've called that grossly irresponsible. What's your reaction now that they seem to be on the verge of success with it?
Yeah, Katie, look, I suppose Social Democrats and myself, we would have concerns from a number of perspectives. One is from the perspective of farmers, because I think what we've seen with this government was, you know, this derogation, like, they really brought farmers to the edge of a cliff here, right? The decision was to be made in January. Farmers, we were calling for clarity for farmers, and we were looking for a plan for them, because essentially the level of uncertainty the farmers have had to deal with in regard to the derogation, I think, has put them in a very vulnerable position, and I think it wasn't the correct way for government to deal with this. But we also would have concerns from a water quality perspective, because obviously the environment is a large part of the derogation, and actually a responsibility of having the derogation is that we will improve our water quality. And, you know, I would have serious concerns, because the derogations have been given to Ireland since 2006. We have had a number of derogations, and we have never met our environmental quality standards as a result of those derogations. And each time a derogation is to be renewed, you know, the government has gone over and saying, can we have some more time? You know, we're getting better at this. We're meeting our objectives. But that isn't actually true. And I heard Billy say there that water quality is improving. And look, the EPA, the facts are very clear on this. The EPA's latest 3-year report stated that only 52% of our rivers are in satisfactory ecological condition. That is down. That is a decrease on the previous 3-year period, which when it was 54%. So we have seen a continual decline in the overall quality of our rivers. And the EPA are very clear that actually, particularly in the south and the southeast, that is primarily coming from agricultural pressure. So, you know, I think that is something that we should all be concerned about as a nation. Yes, we absolutely need farmers. We need farmers who are economically viable, that have businesses that they can pass on to their children. It's really important. But we also need to be able to work within the environmental boundaries that we have.
Oh, can I put that to you, Billy Keller? Are you pursuing this for farmers at a cost to the whole country in terms of our water quality?
No, we're not. And if you look at some of the water catchment areas where there is continuous monitoring, for example, the Timilee catchment area in West Cork, there's been a major increase in cow numbers, and yet there has been an increase in water quality as well.
But can you respond to Jennifer Whitmore's point there? Because that is a fact. The EPA reports showed that water quality is worsening, not
yes,
improving.
But the derogation is in the context of over 7,500 farmers. So, I mean, to put the entirety of the water quality issue on those 7,500 farmers is grossly unfair and is equally irresponsible. The fact of the matter is, if the derogation isn't retained, those 7,500 farmers will immediately have two choices to make: either cull numbers of cows or take additional land to continue their farming output. And that will put huge pressure on the entirety of the land use across all of the country in terms of displacement of land from tillage and from beef back into dairy. But the issue here is, it is shown that where mitigating measures are put in place, that water quality can improve and does improve. And that is scientifically analysed every 10 minutes in Southwest Cork and the Timilee catchment area. So they're not mutually exclusive. It can be done together, water quality, and allow farmers to continue. And
I think Let Jennifer come back in, Billy.
I think we do need to bring some facts into this again. So in Timilee, there have been some improvements in some areas at certain times, but overall, the nitrate concentrations are twice what they should be. Phosphate is 3 times the level, and the biological factors are unsatisfactory. So even in that area where there has been intense measures put in place, and I know the farmers there have done an enormous amount of work, but they are still failing the Water Framework Directive standards. So, I mean, like, let's set that aside and say, okay, on the whole, across the country, when it comes to our rivers, they are in a really, really poor condition. Now, you know, rivers are something that they're not, you know, a nice to have. They're fundamental to our environment. And, you know, rural people want to have clean rivers. They want to have access to angling opportunities, to tourism opportunities. And it cannot be the case that a failure of government is making it that one sector can sort of hold that to ransom. That cannot be let happen. And actually, farmers, there's counties where there's no derogation for farmers and water quality has not improved.
There's actually counties where there's counties across Ireland where there's almost no farmers in derogation, and water quality has not improved because of other aspects in the context of forestry and other wastewater. So the idea that you point to consistently at dairy farmers, in my view, is just grossly unfair.
Is it not?
Okay.
So Billy Keller,
I do want to clarify this, because it is the south and the southeast that are primarily impacted by these nitrates because of the condition and the quality of the land there. And that's where the primary problems are. And that is, again, a fact from the EPA. And what I would say to Billy is, go read the EPA report. It's not me saying that agriculture is causing problems. Well, it's not me that's saying that agriculture is putting the driver
and
of
I've been
pollution.
Consistently looking
it is the
at
EPA.
This over many, many
one
years.
Voice, please. One voice. That the EPA has pointed a finger at nitrate pollution from dairy farming in particular, Billy Keller. Do you accept that?
No, it points a finger at many areas, but there is also an acceptance and a statistical fact that water quality is improving and can improve when further mitigation measures are put in place. But the idea that we will give no additional time to what has been done over the last number of years and the massive investment in farms, low slurry spreadings emissions, protected urea, all the other areas that farmers have invested over the last number of years, the idea that we wouldn't give that time to bed into this, to water quality improvement, simply to my view, is grossly irresponsible. And on top of this, we are not talking about dairy
I want to ask. I want to ask Jennifer. No, Billy, I want to ask Jennifer Whittemore a very clear question, because you set out the stark choice that would face farmers if this derogation was not, you know, put in place with conditionality that can be kind of worn by farmers. Jennifer, ultimately, would the Social Democrats like to see a cut in the herd? Do you believe that that is really the only way to go here?
What we want to see is a dairy sector that can work within the landscape and within the environment. And what we have seen for decades now is a government that has continued to intensify that sector to the point where every single last bit of productivity is being squeezed out of every single inch of land. And I don't think that has actually served farmers well. What we need is a system that actually can operate in a more environmentally friendly manner.
Do we need fewer cows? Do we need fewer cattle, Jennifer Whittemore?
I think a reduction is where we would probably need to go, because it's not just in relation to nitrates and water quality that there's a problem. There's also an issue in relation to biodiversity loss. There's an issue in relation to emissions, and we're not going to meet our targets. That's going to cost us probably 20 or 30 billion. You know, so there's a whole lot of things. And really, what the problem is the model is wrong. And farmers have been forced into this really intensive model that's not working for them. Okay. And what I found really interesting, Katie, since I started talking about this, I have had smaller farmers come to me, email me and say, look, thank you so much for stating this, because actually, you know, there's 130,000 farmers in the country, and each of those farmers needs support and needs to, you know, to get government support and pathways to actually farming properly.
And what I will also say,
really interesting is Billy's illustration of this. I mean, last week Billy came out with a press release where he said that Holly Cairns, the leader of Social Democrats, had no notion about farming, and he suggested she spend some time on a farm. Now, what I will say to Billy is I have never come across a more patronising statement. Holly Cairns is a farmer. She grew up on a dairy farm. She lives on a farm, and she's a horticulture expert. So, you know, to be using this very blasé, patronising language when you're talking to us is not going to help.
I'm just stating
Let Billy respond. Jennifer,
spend some more time on a farm is absolutely patrising. So what I would
let,
say,
can we let Billy? Can Jennifer? 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 Can we let Billy? Can we let Billy Keller respond to that, please?
Leaving aside the personalities, if we were to observe the Social Democrats model of agriculture in the future, we will have less family farms and we'll have dearer food. The bottom line here is, you know, the more you produce gives farmers an opportunity to make an income, and equally it stabilises food prices. But if you have a reduction in production, you automatically have an increase in price. Now, we already know we have a cost of living issue as it is, but the idea that we will reduce output, reduce production, would simply do two things: reduce the number of farmers and increase the food prices to people in supermarkets tonight, tomorrow, next week, and they already have enough challenges in the cost of living.
Can I ask, actually, on that, Jennifer, your colleague was speaking about food prices in the Dáil today, Cian O'Callaghan. You're proposing a bill to grant the agri-food regulator powers of compellability and mandate the publication of supermarket profits. Will that make a difference, do you think?
It will bring a level of transparency into what we're talking about. I mean, look, I agree with Billy. Prices are going up. Unfortunately, we're still importing onions, carrots, apples into this country. So from a food security perspective, our agriculture isn't up to standard there. But in relation to food prices, I think the government, they set up the food regulator, which was very, very welcome. Unfortunately, they did not give the food regulator the powers that it needed in order to really analyse the markets. And last September, the regulator wrote to the minister and asked to be given those powers, because what the regulator found is that they could not compel businesses to give them pricing data or market data. So when they were trying to work out where the prices were going up across the supply chain, they couldn't identify that. So they asked the minister for those powers. The minister has yet to actually give those powers to the regulator. And I think in the context of the food inflation prices we're seeing now, and the real cost of living problems and people really struggling, I just think it's, you know, the minister should have given those powers. And so I've now I'll be introducing a bill to do so in the next week or two.
Okay.
I mean, you know, prices are going up and we need the government to act. And actually, if they want to deal with increased food prices for people, this is a really, really good start.
Okay.
Because they'll be able to look across the food chain and see if there's any gouging going on.
Okay.
And I would suspect that they'll find that there is.
Thank you. That's Social Democrats Jennifer Whitmore. And thanks also to Billy Kelleher, Fianna Fáil MEP for Ireland South. Now, coming up, taxi drivers in Go Slow protest in Dublin over Uber fare cuts, and terrified of social chit-chat, we look at the science behind small talk.